Hi, everyone. For those of you who may not know me, my name is Cecilia Doherty. I know usually people come up here and talk about the gospel reading, but today I want to spend some time with the psalm. For the last few years, I've gotten the opportunity to go to St. Thomas Choir School in the summers, where I first encountered this psalm in Compline. When I'm at St. Thomas, we sing Compline every night, usually on the balcony in the wood-paneled library overlooking the busy city street. Outside the floor-to-ceiling windows, life in New York continues on, but inside, we have candles. We are together, singing and praying and commending our spirits, as millions of Christians have done for thousands of years. No matter how exhausted we are, how many services we've sung that day, or blocks we've traversed, or incense we've inhaled, something about singing this psalm at Compline brings me back to myself and my place in this tradition. I've always found a sense of comfort in the gentle reassurance of Psalm 31. The words themselves are based on that same idea of finding refuge with God, relinquishing control and relying on God to keep us safe. The psalmist is calling on the Lord to lead him, guide him, and save him. It's a powerful plea for protection, peace, and mercy, and made all the more meaningful, at least for me, by its role throughout all sorts of services. You may have noticed some familiar lines. Our times are in your hand is referenced in the collect for birthdays, for instance. And perhaps more importantly, Jesus quotes verse 5, "Into your hands I commend my spirit," as he dies on the cross. And as we now know, it's the psalm we use in Compline, one of my favorite services. Psalm 31 has been a reminder for me that when everything feels overwhelming, I can always come back to a place that makes me feel safe, protected, and strong. St. Paul's has been that place for me. I have grown up here, first walking in 12 years ago and never really leaving. If you go back far enough in the parish notes, you'll see me in every Christmas pageant costume, wearing an acolyte robe when I was 11, building a house at Boys Home when I was 17, singing in the cast production of Charlie Brown when I was 10, shooting a plastic bag Jesus into the air from a toaster on Ascension Day when I was 8. Leah Romanelli told me that one year they struggled to find photos for the youth programming calendar that didn't have me in them. And always you will see me in the choir. I started in the St. Catherine Choir with Dr. Nelson in 2014 when I was 6 years old. Now, 12 years later, I'm still singing with youth and senior choirs. I don't harbor any delusions that I'm a wonderful singer, or even a particularly good one, but I have enough music theory knowledge to not get lost, and enough enthusiasm to make up for the rest. I have loved my time in choir, which provided me with not only a technical educational foundation, but a faith-based one too, going past the notes of a piece to its history and text and significance. This extends beyond music, to the spaces I've sung in, the vestments I've worn, the services I've been a part of. Of course, there are differences in how these aspects of our worship are approached, depending on where you are. I could get lost in all of those little details, which all seem to harken back to some long and storied struggle. But the core remains the same, whether I'm using these and thous at St. Thomas or yous and yours here at St. Paul's. Something I love about our faith is that no matter where I am, I know it is always waiting for me, essentially unchanged. I love getting lost in the minutiae of the music, the architecture, the art, knowing that I will always be grounded in the words that are repeated every week around the world. The last few weeks have been a season of conflicting, confusing emotions for me and I suspect my fellow seniors. I've been saying goodbye to Laurel, to my orchestra, my friends, and watched my remaining time at St. Paul's dwindle away. At times, I have felt my emotions echo those of the psalmist. I may not have enemies persecuting me at every turn, but sometimes it does feel like someone has set a net secretly in my path. Coming here, coming to church, has always been a way for me to tune all of that out, to take refuge in my house of defense and remember that my times are in God's hands. Psalm 31 shows me what St. Paul's has given me, a faith with words deep enough to hold fear, change, gratitude, and goodbye. I don't think I will ever be able to articulate quite what this place has meant to me, and I know that any attempt will fall short. But whenever I feel lost, adrift, or unsure, I remember Psalm 31 and the community I have here at St. Paul's, and I know that I will always be able to come back here and feel that loving kindness again. Thank you very much for having me.
Good morning, or afternoon. Recently in my life, I've been seeking a lot of reassurance. As a senior in high school, and with no strong idea of where I wanted to go next year, I didn't decide on what college to go to until about 4 days ago, which, for those who don't know, is 2 days before college decision day. Even though I had a lot of very good options, and as my mom said, no wrong choices, it was still very hard for me to make my decision. I've never been very good at making decisions. From a very young age, I would have temper tantrums about picking out which socks to wear, which, much to my parents' dismay, often made us very late to church. As I got a little older, being the middle child, I realized it was just easier to follow what my older sister did instead of making my own decisions. She wore her green polka dot dress to church, I would wear my green polka dot dress to church. She sang in choir, I would sing in choir. She played viola, I thought string instruments were very cool, so I played a slightly bigger viola, which is a cello. Doing these things and following in her footsteps was not always easy, but I was always reassured by Clara, since she would be there giving me advice and comforting me when I needed it, because she had already been in my shoes. As my older sister, Clara would often make fun of me for copying everything she did, and looking back, she was right. When she went away to college, I found it very hard to adjust and not have a person I could constantly follow, and making decisions on my own was hard for me. Just last week, when I was making my final college decision, I found myself longing for someone to tell me the answer to where I should spend the next few years of my life. And when I read the gospel for this week, I realized I was in a very similar place to Jesus' disciples, Thomas and Philip. This gospel takes place during the Last Supper. After Jesus washes his disciples' feet, showing his sign of friendship, he tells them that he will only be with them for a little longer. His disciples, of course, are troubled and want to know where he is going. Thomas asks Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Thomas wants a clear roadmap of what comes next. Another disciple, Philip, straight out asks Jesus to show him the way, afraid of what will come in the future without Jesus to guide him. Both of these disciples want reassurance that their futures will be okay without someone leading them by the hand. Jesus then provides comfort and reassurance to them, saying that as long as they keep him in their hearts, he will be there with them. Just like Thomas and Philip, I wanted a clear roadmap of what to do next, wanting someone to show me the way and just tell me what to do. Everyone's future is uncertain, and we all struggle not having someone to show us the way as Jesus had for his disciples for so long. During this moment of my uncertainty, I found myself relying on my friends, my family, and my community to help guide my decision. Even though no one gave me an actual answer to which college to attend, which made me frustrated, I saw how each family member, friend, and member of my community cared about me and did everything they could to help me see my own values and make the right decision for myself. Whether it was through spending time to help me prepare for a choral scholarship audition, or helping me make my many pros and cons lists, I felt my community surrounding me with their support and comfort, just as Jesus' disciples comforted each other when they all felt uncertain. It's very hard to accept that there's no perfect solution and no one to just show us the path to take or the right thing to do. Choosing to wear the same green polka dot dress as your older sister, who, yes, had been my Jesus at the time, might be the easiest when you're 5 years old, but it's not something you can do forever. I eventually found how to make a decision for myself, not by following someone else, but by using others around me to help keep me grounded in who I am and where I want to go. I ended up picking a school in Washington State, more than 1,000 miles away from where my sisters, family, and community are. Am I scared, just like the disciples were? Yes. Would it be nice for someone to take my hands and just show me the way? Absolutely. But even though my future is uncertain, I know that those around me, along with the values learned through them, will continue to help guide my many decisions in the future, just as Jesus and his teachings continued to guide his disciples.
Good morning. When I first read today's scripture, the line that stood out to me was, "Come my way, my truth, my life." Not because it has deep liturgical meaning to me, but because it transports me back to this nave at 9 years old, singing the anthem by the same name, written by Ralph Vaughan Williams. "Come my way, my truth, my life, such a way as gives us breath, such as truth as ends all strife." I remember standing in the choir up there, battling the itchy ruff around my neck, watching our choir director, Dr. Nelson, closely during moments of funky dissonance. The specific magic of feeling the music pour out of my body, blend with other voices in the organ, and become something much bigger than myself. It still gives me goosebumps. With a sly wink from Dr. Nelson as he played the final chord on the organ, I felt a bubble of pride grow in my stomach. I can now count on one hand the number of Sundays I have left to suit up in my choir robe and process down this aisle with some of my closest friends through the congregation that has supported me since infancy. In this way, I resonate deeply with Thomas when he said in the reading, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? I certainly don't know the way. I'm headed off to college in September at a school 12 hours away. I'm leaving behind all the people who have loved me into the person I am, my family, my teachers, and my friends. When I feel waves of stress and fear crashing over me as I picture the months and years ahead, I urge my brain to return to the phrase and song I personally consider more of a prayer than anything written in these books in the pews. It was originally sung in the trenches of World War I and introduced to me in the book The Anthropocene Reviewed. It's been a phrase of comfort in times of great challenge or transition in my life, and it goes a little something like this. We're here, because we're here, because we're here, etc., to the tune of Auld Lang Syne. I've repeated this tune to myself while battling my way up the mountains of the Appalachian Trail in Maine, while trying to soothe my little sister during a meltdown, while processing the death of my grandfather, while alone under a tarp in a thunderstorm. The list goes on and on. The tune quiets the thunderous, constant chorus of why and what's even the point in my brain, and I think it's part of the message that the gospel is sharing with us here today. In my interpretation of this reading, "we're here because we're here" feels awfully similar to "I am the way and the truth and the life." We are here despite the forces isolating us, and when we trust in God, they help us to recognize the beauty and sacredness of each moment. The hardest part about my transition from home will be the 5-year-old sized chunk of my heart that I'm leaving behind. My little sister Cece has taught me so much about what it means to love, fearlessly, unapologetically, and presently every single day. Over the past nearly 6 years that I've had the honor and challenge of helping her discover the world, I've learned that kids are really, really good at being here. Cece is fully present in each moment. The pride and fear of losing her first tooth, the heartbreak of a misplaced blankie or poorly buttered toast, the pure, unbridled joy of a gorgeous sunset or hot dog derby. It is my inclination, as I enter the final months of living at home with her, to try and bottle up each of these moments, to take all the pictures and give her tangible objects to remember the years of having me at home. But she doesn't need that. She just needs me to be here with her, reading books on Saturday mornings and taking surprise trips to Mitchell's and making up silly stories. I feel that this work is a spiritual practice in itself. So, as I depart this congregation, I urge you all to remember to be here. Let the music pour out of you, take in the mundane moments just as much as the beautiful vistas, and listen to the children sing. The simple act of presentness is holy and life-giving. I invite you to join me in singing "We're Here" as we ground ourselves in this place and this time, acknowledging the holy and beautiful confluence of events that have led us here and the light we possess to bring into the world. We're here because we're here, because we're here, because we're here. We're here because we're here.